Some of you may remember this. 3 weeks ago, I invited the congregation to prepare a sermon as if they were going to preach here at Asbury today, December 9th. It's December, what is it? For February. Wow. Yes, you'll have yours ready by December. It's been a big weekend. I invited people to select a passage, then study it, do some research on the ancient text, meditate on it, pray about it, and figure out how the text can speak to us today in 2020, in February of 2020. Our church council chair, Janet Wagner, took me up on it and presented a wonderful meditation from her study and work on the text at our last church council meeting. It was fabulous. Ann Westbrook also took me up on it. Now, many of you know Ann Allen Westbrook, who was up here this morning giving you the announcement about Moms Demand Action. This fabulous work she does. Well, her mother is also named Ann. And Mother Ann was a part of Asbury long before Ann Allen was. But Mother Ann moved to North Carolina, I think it is, right, Ann Allen? North Carolina, many years ago. But however, she happened to be visiting us 3 weeks ago, heard my invitation to study a text and prepare a sermon, and she happened to choose as her biblical passage today's lectionary text from the Gospel of Matthew that Janet read for us today. And Anne was thoughtful enough to send me her sermon, and I loved it. And since I was preaching on the same text, I asked her if I could borrow some of her material. And she said, sure, and that she will be checking it out when Pat puts it on the website. And so the text is the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus encourages people to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In her sermon, Anne talks about the importance of salt during the time of Jesus and its variety of important uses. It obviously was used to flavor food. It was also used as a preservative. In that hot climate and without refrigeration, salt was greatly needed to lengthen the lifespan of foods. Anne also discovered that salt was also used medically as a disinfectant and was put into healing ointments. When I was in high school, we had a summer football camp in August where we would practice 3 times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the late afternoon. 3 times a day in August in the South. Who came up with this idea? After doing this routine for 4 days, I was walking off the field after the 3rd practice of the day, and a porcupine jumped onto my right leg. It felt like 1,000 needles were shooting in and out of my leg as my muscles began to twitch like crazy. It looked like a beast was underneath my skin and on my leg, and as I cramped and ached in ways I had never experienced before, I could no longer walk, and so I stopped in my tracks, and then another porcupine jumped onto my left leg. not having the use of my legs and being in great pain, all I could do was drop my helmet and fall backwards onto the grass. And as I was now stretched out on my back, looking to the sky with this unbelievable pain in my legs, my right shoulder and right arm started twitching and cramping. I could not move it. And then it hit my left arm and shoulder, and then my abdomen, and even my neck muscles were twitching and cramping, and I could not move one part of my body. All I could do was look skyward. I couldn't even move my head from side to side. By now, I could hear my teammates yelling, "Hester is down! Hester is down! Get some help!" I had no idea what was happening. I had experienced cramps throughout basketball, baseball, football before. I had cramps like you've had cramps tons of times, but not in every part of my body all at the same time. And I then felt hands beneath my head, and hands trying to put a straw into my mouth. "Sip this," a voice said. And I did. It tasted kind of like Gatorade. And almost instantaneously, miraculously, the cramps started slowly dissipating. Life started coming back to different parts of my body. I could slowly start moving my limbs again. And although I felt as though my body had gone into extreme shock, within minutes I was able to get back onto my feet, shower, dress, eat supper, go to sleep, and practice 3 more times the next day. I had no idea that Gatorade was so powerful. What I later learned, and what you may already suspect, is that it wasn't so much the Gatorade that helped me. It was the salt that had been added to it. The Gatorade helped, of course, but it was especially used as a tool to get salt into my body, the salt that healed me and gave me life again. So salt flavors things, preserves things, heals things, gives life to us. In our text today, Jesus says, we're to be these things. You're to flavor the world. You're to preserve the world. You're to heal the world. But, he says, but you won't do these things. You won't be salt. You won't be light if you don't follow the 10 commandments, if you don't follow the law. You may agree or disagree with Mitt Romney's decision at the impeachment trial. You may like or dislike his politics. But I couldn't help but think of him when I read the lectionary text for this week, from what he said in his remarks this week. Romney is a deeply religious man whose ethics guide his behavior and his decisions. That's what Jesus is talking about when he begs us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In her sermon, Anne Westbrook quotes biblical scholar William Barclay, who addresses the connection of salt as a preservative. Barclay says, Christians must hold up standards of purity in speech, conduct, and thought. He says a Christian must be the person who by his or her presence defeats corruption and makes it easier for others to do good. Oddly enough, our lay minister, Preston Hodges, emailed me something that was almost identical. And it's good to see, by the way, so many Asbarians doing their homework. He wrote, "I read where Jesus used the word salt to serve as a preservative, stopping the moral decay in our sin-infected world." Mitt Romney wasn't the only person who came to mind this week when I read this text. Laura Angel came to mind. For those who may be visiting with us today, Laura was our youth director, who we lost this week after battling cancer for 3.5 years. Her memorial service was on Friday and was one of the most incredible experiences many of us have ever had. It's hard to describe Laura if you didn't know her. About the most accurate thing I could say about her is that Laura was salt and Laura was light. She seemed to always let love be her guide. She embodied love, she spread love, and most impressively, I think, she had the uncanny ability to see love in everyone she met and came in contact with. And by doing so, she kept true to those 10 commandments and the law that Jesus was talking about, in order to be salt and light. Because remember, the foundation of the law is what? Love. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then do. That's how we become salt and light. And then do what Anne Westbrook says she needs to do. She says, "I need to ask myself daily, what's in your shaker, Anne? And where and on whom are you sprinkling it? What's in your shaker, Ray? Ruth? And where and on whom are you sprinkling it?" But sometimes we can't be salt. We can't give love because we are depleted. We seem to have no love to give. We don't feel loved. We maybe can't even love ourself. And we're like how I was on the ground, paralyzed, not able to move, not able to live as we should be able to live and love. And we need a salt infusion, a love infusion. And you've come to a great place to get it. For God will infuse you through the music, through the prayers, through the laughter, and through the tears. God will especially infuse you with love through the people around you here today. And all of this is orchestrated by the One, the Spirit, the Creator, who will hold your head up put a straw into your mouth and say, sip, sip. Just don't forget that after you get infused, and you will, go out and be salt and be light. Amen and amen.